Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining today's Florida Hospital Association virtual meeting for a Hepatitis A outbreak update. Today's meeting is being recorded. It's Thursday, November 7th, 2019. During the presentation, participant lines are muted, but please use the group chat box throughout the presentation to submit questions and comments. We'll also have time where you can open your line for discussion, and at that time, you can press star 7 to unmute and star 6 to go back on mute. The slide presentation and a recording will be emailed to the attendees after the webinar. At this time, I'll turn the call over to FHA Vice President John Wilgus. John?
Thank you, Luann, and good morning, everyone. We welcome you to today's Hepatitis A Public Health Emergency 60-Day Update with Florida, the Florida Department of Health's Secretary and State Surgeon General, Dr. Scott Rivkes. We're pleased to have the working relationship and partnership with Dr. Rivkes and his agency, and we're very happy to make these update calls and meetings available to you so that you have the most recent and current information on the hepatitis A outbreak. So without further ado, Dr. Rivkes, we'd like to turn the call over to you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much, John. First, I want to thank everybody for joining us on this call. We're a little past 60 days after we declared our public health emergency, and we'll give folks an update about how we're doing. And then also, the purpose of this call is to really make sure that we are doing all that we can do to battle this serious outbreak. I should say from the onset that we are making progress, and also it's important to recognize that hepatitis A is going to be part of the Florida landscape going forward, just knowing the biology of the virus. Again, this is a virus that is extraordinarily hardy, not killed by hand sanitizers, can remain infective on surfaces for months. So this is going to be something that's going to be in the environment for a while. So if we go to the slide that has the map of the national outbreak, again, which to emphasize that what we are seeing is part of a national outbreak. And as of the end of October, there were about 27,000 cases nationally associated with 275 deaths in Florida. We now have more than 3,400 cases since the outbreak began. Just over the past year alone, 2,970 cases. We have a 78% hospitalization rate. This really is a serious infection. And also reflecting how serious this is, we've had 48 individuals who succumbed to the virus for more than 1% case fatality rate. As I mentioned on the next slide, hepatitis A is a vaccine-preventable disease. Those of us in pediatrics, like myself, know that this outbreak is affecting adults because children have been vaccinated since 2005. In the pediatric care, individuals are typically vaccinated during their second year of life, a two-dose series 6 months apart. It's important to emphasize that this is quite an effective virus, even if you just have one dose, 93% of individuals will be protected for 10 years. And with some of our challenging populations, individuals with substance abuse, individuals who are homeless, we may only have the opportunity to vaccinate individuals once, and that will be quite effective. Two doses, though, gives 100% protection. This is an inactivated virus. The side effects of this vaccine are extraordinarily rare. It's important to emphasize that this can be given during pregnancy, can be given to immunocompromised individuals. And also, we're now in influenza vaccination season. And for individuals who have chronic conditions, we're recommending that individuals get vaccinated for hepatitis A. So as part of messaging for influenza vaccination, it's also important to get the message out that individuals, particularly if they have a chronic medical condition, ask their provider at the same time when they get their influenza vaccine, can they also get their Hep A vaccine? In terms of our goals for vaccination, which are shown in the next slide, we have two major groups that we are trying to vaccinate. First, high-risk individuals and medically vulnerable. High-risk individuals refer to the groups of individuals that are more likely to harbor the virus and spread the virus. And this is a virus that is associated with challenging sanitary conditions. So individuals with intravenous or non-intravenous drug use, and individuals who suffer from homelessness. And if we look at the data within the state, about more than half the individuals who have hepatitis A have a history of intravenous or non-intravenous drug use, and about 25% have homelessness, and about 25% are individuals who don't have risk factors. To get the outbreak under control, and this is per the CDC, we have to vaccinate 80% of individuals who are in this high-risk category. I also mentioned that 25% of individuals with hepatitis A in the state are individuals who don't have these high-risk factors. This includes individuals who are medically vulnerable. And as I'll talk about later on, in terms of where we're seeing deaths in the state, this involves individuals with underlying liver disease. It currently is recommended by ACIP guidelines that all individuals with underlying liver disease get vaccinated for hepatitis A. We have also identified that, looking at the individuals who have succumbed to the virus, older than 60, that we see deaths in individuals older than 60 years of age with a chronic medical condition. So in terms of medically vulnerable individuals for vaccination, those with liver disease, those older than 60 with an underlying medical condition. The next slide shows our target population estimates and just shows how Herculean an effort we need to really reach our targets. So in terms of homelessness, we estimate that there are more than 60,000 individuals in our state with homelessness, individuals with illicit drug use, more than 400,000 individuals. And we have to vaccinate 80% of this population to try to decrease the viral burden in our state. So we're talking about vaccinating almost 400,000 individuals with challenging circumstances. In terms of the vulnerable population, this is very considerable in our state. The more than 300,000 individuals who have underlying liver disease, these individuals need to be vaccinated. If you look at individuals older than 60 years of age with a chronic condition, such as diabetes, cardiovascular disease, coronary artery disease, hypertension, you're talking more than 500,000. So the total vulnerable population is in excess of 800,000, likely in excess of 1 million that needs to be vaccinated. As shown in the next slide, at the beginning of August, we declared, with the support of the governor and lieutenant governor, we declared a public health emergency. This was renewed at the end of September. It's important to emphasize that this public health emergency applies to all counties in Florida, and we listed 17 counties where they're particularly impacted with more than 10 cases per 100,000 individuals or more than 100 cases. We have specific recommendations which still stand that healthcare providers should vaccinate high-risk individuals, vaccinate medically vulnerable populations, which I talked about before. Individuals who are working with high-risk persons in a non-healthcare setting, such individuals working at home, volunteering at homeless shelters, drug treatment centers, these individuals should be vaccinated. This is a reportable disease, and cases of hepatitis A are reported to county health departments, recommending following good hand-washing procedures, again, emphasizing the fact that these alcohol-based hand sanitizers are not protective against hepatitis A, and then also recommend the cleaning of public facilities, showers, restrooms, with bleach-containing disinfectants, solutions left on bleach-containing solutions left on the surface for a minute, and that these should be sanitized daily. In terms of sanitizers, sanitizing solutions, this is an important area of emphasis because many solutions that are out there are not effective against hepatitis A. So it's really the bleach-containing solutions. And for those of you who run facilities, inpatient, outpatient facilities, it's important to circle back with your housekeeping services to be sure that they are using bleach-containing solutions for this. The next slide talks about where individuals can be vaccinated. And I know one of the issues that comes up is in terms of covering the cost of the vaccine. And there's actually good resources for having individuals now covered. So first, in terms of where to get vaccinated, in terms of healthcare providers, many pharmacies, including large chains, will provide the vaccine. County health departments, all of our county health departments provide the vaccine. And on our Department of Health website, we actually have a tool where individuals can look at where they can get vaccinated. As far as covering the vaccine, so first, all commercial insurance plans cover the hepatitis A vaccine. So in the state of Florida, this means about 4 million individuals will be covered with this. Medicare Part D and many Medicaid Part B programs will cover this. This is another 3 million individuals. We're very grateful to Secretary Mary Mayhew from ACA, who worked with Medicaid plans. So the Medicaid plans in this state are now covering hepatitis A vaccine. So between commercial insurance, Medicare, and Medicaid, there should be more than 10 million adults who will have this vaccine covered and paid for. For individuals who are high risk, homelessness, drug use, we certainly provide the vaccine for free. If an individual is uninsured or underinsured, we will also vaccinate those individuals. And on our website, we actually have the cost posted of the vaccines for individuals who wish to pay out of pocket as well. So the point is that, you know, individuals can get a vaccine and it can have it paid for in many circumstances. The other thing to recognize is that if you're caring for individuals who are high risk, individuals with homelessness, substance abuse, drug treatment centers, things like that, that you can actually, we can develop memorandums of understanding or agreements with you so that we will be able to give you the vaccine to give to administer these high-risk populations. The next slide shows our weekly case report trends. In the light-colored or the pink bars, this shows before the public health emergency, and then the red bars show after the health emergency was declared. This is there are many people are affected. It goes across a broad swatch of Florida. It's going to be a while before this outbreak is currently eradicated. And what we anticipate is that as the number of individuals who are vaccinated goes up, the number of individuals who are affected goes down, as you can see in the trend graph. If you look at the next slide, which shows the map of the state with the darker colored red showing areas that are greater impact, again, we have a broad swatch across the middle of the state, but it's important to emphasize that nearly every county in our state has been affected by this virus. The next slide shows some of the changes that we've seen since we declared the public health emergency. I also want to emphasize that even before the public health emergency was declared, we had begun ramping up efforts to reach some of these high-risk populations. So this graph in the lighter colored red bars shows the number of cases. In the dark red bars shows the number of vaccines administered. And what you'll notice is that the number of cases overall in the state of Florida is declining as we vaccinate more and more individuals. I want to, on the next slide, it focuses on deaths related to hepatitis A, and this is really where we need your help to protect the medically vulnerable population. So if we look at individuals less than 60 years of age, and we now have 48 individuals who have died from hepatitis A. So I personally reviewed all the all these cases, and you can break them down into two groups of persons, folks less than 60 and folks older than 60 years of age. For individuals who are less than 60 years of age, 87% of the individuals who have died have underlying liver disease. Only one of these individuals was vaccinated, and this person was vaccinated two or three days before the individual came down with hepatitis A. So what this means is that we have a large number of individuals, many of these individuals who are actually in healthcare, who had been diagnosed with hepatitis C, cirrhosis, hepatitis B, other forms of liver disease that had not been vaccinated. And again, according to the Advisory Council of Immunization Practices, vaccination of individuals with underlying liver disease with hepatitis A is something that has been recommended for a while. The other thing that we noticed looking at the records of individuals who passed away, if you look at folks older than 60 years of age, only 12% of these individuals had underlying liver disease, which means that nearly 90% of these individuals did not. And if you look at whether these folks had individuals had comorbid conditions, a number had diabetes, some had just hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and obesity. And of the individuals older than 60 who have died, none of these individuals have been vaccinated. So this is why we recommend that if you're older than 60 and you have an underlying medical condition, get vaccinated as well. So in terms of opportunities, and again, this is where I'm really grateful for everybody being on the call, because this is a huge effort that we're actually, if we can go to the next slide. Yes, so as far as opportunities, and again, this is why I'm grateful that you're all joining us on the call. We need help from the medical community, the public, and from our community partners. As far as medical community, please identify those individuals that you're caring for who have liver disease at any age and have these individuals vaccinated. This can be done by going through CPT codes, identifying individuals with underlying liver disease to have them vaccinated. Again, we're dealing with an activated vaccine can be given to individuals who are immunocompromised, individuals who are pregnant. Look for individuals older than 60 years of age with a chronic medical condition. Have those individuals vaccinated. Also, in terms of care of high-risk individuals in the emergency room or outpatient setting, vaccinate those individuals. And as mentioned, we can't provide vaccine to you for these groups of individuals. I'll come back to these points later on. In terms of the public, again, continued emphasis on the importance of hand washing after being in public places before eating. Alcohol-based hand sanitizers are not affected. That's why we recommend washing with soap and water for 20 seconds. Sanitation of restrooms at all of your facilities. Make sure that there's sanitized with bleach-containing solutions. For the public, we have lots of messaging out there, and soon we'll be launching some additional public service awards. Basically, get vaccinated, and also, you know, pushing out the message. When you get your hepatitis A vaccine, or when you're offered your flu vaccine, you know, also consider getting vaccinated for hepatitis A. In terms of community partners, grateful to our community partners, so individuals in jails. So this is an area that we are actively working on for the high-risk population. 80% of individuals in jails have a history of homelessness or drug use. So we are working with jails throughout the state to have individuals vaccinated either in intake or before they are released from jails. Drug treatment programs. Again, more than 50% of the individuals in the state with hepatitis A have a history of illicit drug use. So it's very important that individuals in drug treatment centers get vaccinated. So for those of you who have drug treatment programs, it's important to reach out to those areas of care to make sure that they are providing vaccine. And then in terms of getting vaccine out to communities, first responders, other groups, drug treatment centers, we can execute local agreements to allow the transfer of vaccine. And the next slide, again, highlights the opportunities for the medical community. For all of you who are on these calls today, it is important that you review the records of your patients who have underlying liver disease, and either try to contact those individuals actively or when they come in for their visits to make sure that they get vaccinated for hepatitis A. Again, this is something which is recommended by the ACIP guidelines. And again, for individuals older than 60, I know we're in the time where we're beginning to get our influenza vaccines, that at the time when individuals are being offered their flu vaccine, consider offering them hepatitis A. And then before individuals are discharged from the hospital, considering having those individuals vaccinated before they go home. In terms of the high-risk population, if an individual comes into your facility that has had a drug overdose, try to vaccinate those individuals before they go home. If you're involved with programs that that care for homeless populations that have history of drug use, drug treatment centers, things like that, try to vaccinate those individuals. Also, again, we can execute MOAs to be able to get you the vaccine for this. So at this point, I really want to thank everybody for your attention, and as mentioned, we have to make sure that we're doing all that we can do to combat this outbreak. This is something which is going to be part of the Florida landscape for a while. This virus, again, is very hardy and is has taken a toll on more than 3,000 Floridians so far, and again, sadly, 48 individuals have died as a result of this. Also, from a hospitalization point of view, we're talking about a 78% hospitalization rate. The collective cost for hospitalization related to hepatitis A now has topped $200 million in the state, in addition to the very significant personal toll. So at this point, I'll be happy to take any questions that you might have.